Southeast Radio's Morning Mix. Chat, news and your views with Alan Corcoran.
That text line is open to you at the Southeast Radio Key or minifarm.com. Text line 0833 123 123, or give us a shout here at 053 9145 222. That's our comment line number. The seven deadly sins of the relationship game. I'm joined by Dr. David Fraser. Good morning to you, Dr. David. Hello, David. Can you hear me?
Hi, yes, I can. How are you doing?
Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Yourself?
Well, I mean, the seven deadly sins of a relationship game is said that the best part of breaking up is when we're making up, but why do we fall out in the first place? And of course, there's so much interest in this at the moment with the Ronan and Yvonne Keating situation, the boy's own lad, but just moving away from their problems. In general, what are you telling us about this making up and breaking up type of thing?
Well, I think my kind of message really is that it's something that we can be that bit more skillful about. And certainly I know from my own experience where I got my home life in a bit of a mess about 5 years ago, that just learning a bit more about how we interact with each other at home and at work, really, or anywhere, in fact, we can just be a bit smarter about it, basically. And that will mean that we are more able to get out of the rows that we get into and just move on more easily. And that's what I've written about, that sort of thing, those sort of skills.
So what you're saying is you've written this book based on your own real-life experiences, or?
Oh, very much so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's look at the seven deadly sins. Then, what is sin number one?
Well, the sin number one really is just is ignoring the whole issue in the first place, and not realizing that we can learn to be more skillful about these things. You know, we emerge from, you know, teenage years into adulthood, sort of thinking that we're fully formed in this kind of area, when in fact it's a lifelong learning thing, really. And being skillful with other people is a skill for life. And that's really the second sin, if you know, to use the word, is sort of not realizing that it's a skill for life.
Yeah.
If we move on to the third one that I've kind of sort of highlighting, and this was a big one for me, is that we tend to be overly focused on ourselves rather than on other people. And in fact, to get what we want, we need to help other people get what they want. And that, certainly for me, was one of the key things that was causing me problems.
Being less selfish.
Yeah, I was kind of a bit self-obsessed, really, you know, and just my things were more important than anybody else's stuff. But in fact, the way to get our home lives to work well, really, is to recognise we need to help the other family members get what they want, and then they'll help us get what we want.
You possibly get a little bit of joy out of helping someone get what they want as well, the kind of satisfaction that you've helped them achieve a goal.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
The blame game is step number four, and it's something that you have given us an example of a former British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. How does he factor into this step number four?
Well, I'm sure you would have seen something about the election that we've had recently, and there was an incident where he didn't realise he was being recorded and said something a bit critical of one of his staff. And in fact, really, it was probably his own fault, if you like, and it would have been a more attractive quality for him if he'd taken responsibility.
Is this where he was mic'd up for Sky News and he was heading off in the car and he was had a one-on-one with this pensioner?
Yeah. And I think that a real sort of takeaway from the in this kind of area that's good is to take. Rather than what we normally do, if people don't understand what we say, we tend to blame them. But in fact, instead of doing that, say, well, actually, if they didn't understand, I can't have communicated very clearly, so let me try again. And if we take responsibility for the effect of what we say, or maybe what we don't say, and then make ourselves completely, you know, responsible for that, then and act accordingly, then we can. That will make a real difference to how we get on with other people. So rather than sort of saying to them, oh, you didn't get it, you know, you didn't get what I said, say, look, sorry, I can't have been clear enough, let me try again.
Yeah, the next step is really, it could be applied to anything, not just relationships. The fifth one, judging others by their own standards. So in other words, you set a standard for something, it's a standard that you follow, but other people may not live up to that. And in a relationship, that could cause huge problems, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, we're all fallible human beings. You know, we do the best that we can at any time, and that's as true of ourselves as it is of other people. And the other thing is that others have different values. They see different things as important from what we see as important. So for example, in a home situation with my partner, and she's a full-time mum, I'm the breadwinner, if you like, and that means that we have, you know, slightly different values about how time should be spent. My partner's values are really all around
yeah.
family, and whereas I need to mix that a little bit with, well, how do I earn a living to support the family, and that, of course, can lead to tension at times.
Yeah, I mean, it's riveting to hear someone sort of describing it, but I think it's even more riveting to know that you're basing it on your own real life experiences. As a matter of interest, is everything hunky-dory with you now, or are you still working on it?
Oh, yeah, we're getting on very well, thank you very much. Well, we have our moments, you know, we have our moments, but really, the thing that appealed to me about this whole subject was that if we learn to be a bit more skillful, we can get out of the problems more easily.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was the great appeal of it. We could just be smarter about it. And with a variety of different, being aware of certain things, you know, why we clash about things, you know, realizing, well, the reason we've got a little clash here is because we see different things as important. And we both have a right to see those things as important, but to, you know, to accept that and say, right, okay, in order for us to move forward, we need to find a way where we both get some of what we want.
Yeah, you've been described as an implementer par excellence and a herder of cats, although you say you don't actually have any cats. A herder of cats? I never heard that one before. Where did that come from?
No, well, it's a kind of, that really relates in a way to my work. The kind of work that I do is with organizations where, and it's really about getting rather disparate people to work together, maybe where, you know, a sort of public and private kind of partnership type thing where you might have the public sector and a company working together and you've got different cultures and that sort of thing. And the idea, of course, of herding cats, of course, don't go about in herds. So if you try and herd them, it's not a desperately easy thing to do. And if you take your eye off the ball kind of thing, then the cats will all scatter again. You know, that's the...
Yeah, you're also described as the love engineer.
Yes.
What does the missus think of that?
Well, there's a particular thing there. Let me kind of... In some ways, there is clearly love between partners. But one of the things, when I wrote my book, I learned the kind of importance of this, not just between partners, but the importance of the sort of interhuman kind of love thing, like between a father and a son, or between a friend and another friend, or even between work colleagues, in the sense of trying to get the best out of each other and helping other people be all they can be, you know. And we can be very skillful, and that's great, and we get a lot out of that. But the thing, in a way, that's most powerful of all is actually that sense of love. And you can see it, for example, if there's like the earthquake in Haiti, you know, and we all think, oh, that's terrible, we've really got to do something about that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of interhuman caring thing is just extremely powerful. And I've included that in the book, and that's really why people are calling me the love engineer.
The love engineer. Well, I've two very quick points before we wrap up our chat with you this morning. They're points number 6 and 7, not knowing ourselves, our own irritating little traits, and how they can impact on a relationship. What are your tips there?
Well, the thing there is to really sort of take a look at ourselves, and there's a little method we can use. If you imagine sitting in a chair talking to a friend or a family member or whoever, and see them there, and then just go and sit where they would sit and look at ourselves, or imagine ourselves sitting in our chair and think, well, what do we notice about that? What do we like? What do we maybe not like? And what might be changed? So in my case, it's of my learning in that is often, well, I could do with smiling a bit more, because sometimes come across as a bit severe, a bit maybe, you know, disapproving or whatever. So make an effort to smile and be friendly. And that helps. That helps, it does, yeah.
And in the words of the ABBA song, sin number 7 is the winner takes it all, and you ask the question, but do they?
Well, do they, yeah. I think there's a risk of falling into a trap of thinking that if we get what we want, that's all that matters, really. But my experience is that if we win at other people's expense, we actually come undone in the end. And to really get results long term, to have a great home life and a great working life, we need a balance between what we get and what other people get. We need, and it's, you know, it's a commonly used phrase, but we need to find a way to get a win-win kind of outcome, and getting to that balance is really the key to getting a relationship to really flow and be a rich and rewarding experience.
Good to talk to you, David. Just a final question concerns your wife and her sort of acceptance that you go about talking to radio stations like this one, explaining that it's on the basis of what happened between you and her. Has she any problems with that?
No, No. We talked all that through. Our take on that really is our experiences are every person's experiences, really. You know, relationships get challenging at times, and we've learned a lot about that, and we just feel it's something worth sharing with other people. And I've had personal experience. We have our youngest child has autism, so I've had some experience of special needs, and I met a child who was very challenged in that sort of way some months ago, and I just had an experience that said, if I've got something to share with the world that can help other people, then I really ought to do it, because not everybody has the same chances in life.
Good morning to you. Thanks for taking our call.
Thank you. That was
Dr. David Fraser there, very open and frank. How to Get On With People, You Need to Get On With, Relationships Made Easy is his book. And for people to go ahead and read it, you want to check out more on it, it's a website address, www.relationshipsmadeeasy.info. That's www.relationshipsmadeeasy.info.